Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show at 6 with myself, Brandon Graham, Elliot Shore Parks joining me for the Brandon Graham Show, and then the Players Lounge with Ike and Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, and an Eagles player to be determined. We'll have Nick Sirianni's press conference for you in 15 minutes or so.
Yeah,
I don't think
sounds about right.
I don't think we're gonna get any answers on any injuries or anything. So the Jalen thing, we're probably the way that the concussion protocol goes is even if he's gonna play, I don't think we know until Thursday or Friday.
Yes.
Like well,
yes.
Plus competitive advantage, you can't give that away.
Well, he actually has to go through the protocol where he can't do anything for X amount of days.
Right. Right.
So yeah.
Now I will say the line opened at 6.5 and it's up to 9.5.
Whoa. No, I thought it opened at 8.5. I thought it opened at 6.5.
But regardless, it's gone up.
Wow.
Even after that great game last night by the Cowboys?
I didn't watch any of that game. They looked pretty good?
No.
No.
No, they did. They looked bad. It looked okay. I mean,
well, it'll be a different Cooper Rush at least this time.
I mean, they looked okay for a team they got eliminated. So, you know, they got eliminated with the Eagles losing.
Yeah, I thought they'd be a dead-in-the-water team, and they're not playing.
They still came out and played last night. That was a crazy game all the way down to the final possession where Tampa fumbled the ball.
That was actually helpful for us to get Tampa out of there.
Ask me while I was still up watching that game. Yeah, because I had a bad day all day.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
that was the final game of the day. Yeah. What a bad days that we all have, Spike,
well,
on game day.
Well,
well, Sundays, I guarantee you, most of us are having bad
days. Yes, 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 yes. 2-1. Oh, go ahead.
The one time Jalen doesn't tush-push.
Yeah, he ruins every parlay.
Not to agree with Reese's call, but I had a Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown bet.
I will agree with that.
Close out a parlay.
Jack, you do not deserve to cash any Jalen Hurts
exactly.
anytime touchdown.
Well, it's just, you know, at some point I got to start betting it because it's every freaking week to get to the 1 yard line.
Anthony in Southwest Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Ant?
Fellas, what's up? What's going on?
What's up, Ant?
What up, Ant?
Not much, man. Hey, listen, I think it's just like us, man. Like, I love the city of Philadelphia. I love our team, man. But sometimes we act like the softest damn people in the world, man. We act like the world coming to an end because we lose a game. Yes, we lost the game. But I think the majority of the fan base would agree, right? And I think Ike, you said it. I know I heard Hugh say it at one point. I still believe that this is the best all-around football team, not only in the National Football League right now, but that I've ever seen in my life as an Eagles fan, right? Now, yesterday we had some slip-ups. We were very undisciplined, right? But I spent my whole life as a sports player, and I had my moments where, you know, I got to go back to the drawing board and I got to clean some things up. That happens in sports. Our defense didn't play great yesterday. Our quarterback got knocked out the game. Some things happened. We weren't going to win 17 games straight to go, you know, and win the Super Bowl. That just wasn't going to happen.
This is a cope. Why can't it happen?
It's not about the fact that it can't happen, but see, and this is why I'll say that I don't think it would have happened, right? At the end of the day, when you don't have a lot of bulletin board material in a locker room, I told you guys before, I still spend a lot of time in locker rooms, right? When you're constantly winning, sometimes what happens in the locker room is the coach doesn't have a whole lot that he can go to. All he can keep saying is, yeah, guys, keep your head down, keep doing this, that, and the third, even if you made mistakes, because guys are riding this hot. When you have a situation like what happened yesterday, now you have things that you have to go to. You have to go to Jalen Carter and CJ GJ and have conversations with them that are credible and valid conversations. You have conversations that you need to go and talk to the rest of the team about being sloppy, and they have to hear you. Sometimes when you're just winning all the time, you tend to tune things out and you get a little bit above yourself. So what this game did for me yesterday was that I said to myself right after it was over, I said, okay, we got the loss out the way. Now, if we're the best team in football, we should be able to go any damn where. I'm not saying, like, you know, we're like the super team or super team, but we have enough talent when Jalen gets back to go into any building, compete, and win. I wanted the number one seed, but the fact that we aren't getting it, I'm not scared. You know, and I think the city, we need to calm the hell down, man. Like,
I don't think people are freaking out, Ant, to be honest with you. To be quite honest with you, I think more people feel...
Spike's like, we're not freaking out enough.
Yeah, I think more people are like you. Thank you for the call. And for... I'm putting the kibosh on... This is the best Eagles team I've ever seen. Enough.
Okay.
Well, why?
Like, the 17 team was awesome and won the Super Bowl. The 04 team was awesome and went to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Can we get out of the
greatest team to never do it?
Can we get out of the regular season first before we start calling this the best team we've ever seen?
You're anti-take.
No, I'm not. It's just it's not the best team that I've ever seen as an Eagles as an
in
Eagles
the moment
fan,
it felt that way.
Yes, 17. They have, even in the regular season, 17 and 04, like, they're at least equal, if not better, and had more talent on the defensive side.
Well, here's
team.
The other thing. Even 22, we were saying 22 was the greatest Eagles team ever.
Yeah, but no one was proud of that defense. We're much more proud of this defense, except for the last drive, yes.
All right. We will hear from Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, that last drive was tough.
It was tough. We'll hear from Nick Sirianni in...
Again, with another bad kickoff preceded it.
In less than 10 minutes. Your calls as well, 215-592-9494. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. If you've waited for a stocking stuffer, for a holiday gift, the Chickies and Pete's gift card available here at Chickies in South Philly and all locations at ChickiesandPete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly, Brandon Graham Show at 6, and then the Players Lounge. We bring to you now Nick Sirianni. The Coach's Press Conference is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. Here's Coach Sirianni.
Hey, Nick, I'm going to ask you one question you're not going to answer, and one you will. How's Jalen doing today? Do you have any update on him? We haven't seen Tanner, obviously. Just kind of wanted to get an update on how he's been doing in case he does have to play. What have you seen from him, and how confident are you if he's got to go in there?
Yeah, Jalen's in the concussion protocol. You know, when stuff like that happens, you know, we just lean on the doctors to let us know on a daily basis of where he is. As far as Tanner goes, him and Kenny have been getting a lot of reps on scout team and in our developmental periods. I think both of them have done a really good job there and are continuing to develop.
I'll go to Chris and then Jeff McClain.
Afternoon, Nick. I saw you guys finish 3 of 16 on third downs. Was there a common thread that you noticed after watching the film of why it was inefficient on third down?
Yeah, a lot of different reasons go into it. Obviously, our goals are to be, you know, well above that on third down. So we didn't hit our goals. I think we've been pretty good this past couple months of the season on our third downs after starting a little bit slow. But yesterday wasn't up to our standard. You know, we were able to convert on 3 of 3 on fourth down. So we kind of look at it that way too with that. But we weren't good enough coaching. We weren't good enough playing there in our third down scenarios yesterday.
We'll go to Jeff McClain and then Jeff Nyberg.
Yeah, Nick, you said before that Jalen does a pretty good job of protecting himself. But would you have liked him to do a slide there?
Shoot, yeah, you know, he always has done a good job of protecting himself and been dynamic, both as a passer and as a runner. yeah, anytime something goes down and you lose one of your best players, you wish they'd do something else or not take that hit in that scenario. We always want him to. We always run runs that that protect him, and we always want him to protect himself. Again, this is, you know, unfortunately, this is a unfortunate part of football. The injuries that happen, unfortunately, sometimes it's with, you know, with head injuries, and you never want to see that because you always want what's best for your players and their well-being. And so yeah, I mean, you know, obviously don't want them to take that hit.
We'll go to Jeff Nyberg and then Dave Zingaro.
Nick, you use the word sloppy a lot after the game. I'm wondering, after watching it back, what were some of your takeaways on a larger scale defensively that let you guys down yesterday?
Yeah, again, we a lot of different things. I think, you know, when you talk about that too, like when you talk about it, it's never just, hey, this is defense, or hey, this is just offense, or hey, this is just special teams. Like, if you got to look at the big picture of it. You know, we were unable to, in the second half on offense, you know, put four field goals on the board, right? We finished one of those drives. It's a different scenario for the defense. You know, then you think about your kickoff coverage, and that wasn't up to our standard. And so we gave them really good field position multiple times. We gave them a short field on a turnover as an offense. And so all those things play into it. As far as, you know, I'm always going to talk to you guys about and talk to our guys about, you know, we had some missed tackles yesterday that gave up some extra yards. We weren't on the same page here and there. We gave them some free yards on penalties. So there was a lot of sloppy things, you know, that we did have as a defense. But, you know, everyone contributes to, you know, those 36 points getting put on the board, like I said, with the offense and the special teams. This is a team sport, and it takes everybody. And just like we get excited about complimentary football when we take the ball away, then punch it in on offense or have a big return and do something good on offense, you know, the same can be said when, you know, it doesn't go your way as well.
We'll go to Dave and then Jason.
Hey, Nick, how do you go about game planning on offense this week without knowing who the quarterback's going to be? Do you almost have to have, like, two game plans ready?
Some, you know, there's different approaches that we take, you know, with that. You know, it depends on the skill set of guys and the different skill sets. And, you know, sometimes it's to give the player the things that he operates well at. Sometimes it's, you know, what you're going against the defense. So there's not... You obviously, just like you would when a wide receiver's out of the game or a defensive back's out of the game, you adjust, and this is no different. You adjust. There's a lot of similarities. There's little differences, but there are differences, but it's just something that you adjust to. And this is the, you know, unfortunate part of the NFL. We've had a lot of experience doing this with different positions, and that includes the quarterback.
If I could follow up real quick, the quarterback obviously is a little different though than a receiver. Yeah. Like, how much does that change?
The way I answered,
there's a lot of similarities.
I'm sorry. Sorry, somebody jumped in. Sorry, Dave. Somebody just jumped in.
I think it was an echo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. As far as, like I said to you, like what I'm saying is every position requires. What's bigger or what's smaller of an adjustment, right? You guys can debate that. But what I'm saying is every position that you are without a guy that's normally playing, there's an adjustment to be made. And quarterback's no different. So there'll be an adjustment that we have to go through. I'm not going to sit here and say this is how much adjustment, this is that. But every time that there's a player out, there is an adjustment to be made.
We'll go to Jason and then Tim. We'll go to Tim here.
Hey, Nick, did you get any further explanation as to why Gardner Johnson was ejected in that game? And on a larger point, when it comes to guys like him and Jalen Carter, who obviously play with a lot of fire, do you accept that there's going to be things like that come along with that style of play?
No further explanation there. Again, I'll always keep my conversations with the league to us in the league, but no, I haven't had any further conversations there. No, you never want to have penalties like that. Again, I always encourage our guys to, you know, be themselves, have fun when you're celebrating, you know, play how you play, but do it within the confines of the rules. And that's something I say to our guys all the time. And that's the same message here. Obviously you don't want those situations. I love how much energy, and fire those guys play with. But obviously, at no point is it, do you want them to get a penalty, or is it acceptable to get a penalty? But again, like I said, there's a reason we have, you know, we have edge on defense. Is we have really good players who, you know, play with great passion and great fire, like, you know, and that's huge. We just always got to understand and know to do it within the confines of the rules.
We'll go to Martin and then John.
Oh, hey, Nick. Yesterday, Kenny was saying after the game that he was going to get his ribs tested today. I was wondering if you had an update on that. And also, you know, the value of having a guy like Kenny as a backup, you know, someone who started for 2 years in Pittsburgh, being able to come in cold like he did yesterday.
Yeah, no new update there, Martin. Kenny did some really good things there yesterday. Obviously, we missed Jalen. Jalen's a great football player who's had tremendous success and led us to a lot of victories. So we missed him and his contributions to the team and leading the team. But Kenny, under circumstances, came in and did a nice job. Played good football. Gave us a chance to win the football game. So, you know, obviously he's going to want some plays back, but he did a lot of good things, and that's, you know, that's the nature of his position, that they have to be able to do those things without reps, because everyone knows that. I mean, they don't get a lot of reps there. You know, now we try to do as much as we possibly can as coaches, and we kind of thought about this too with, you know, going all the way back to Gardner, you know, who wasn't with us in the preseason. We had to find ways, you know, post-practice and pre-practice to get him meaningful reps, and we've tried to do the same thing with Kenny and Tanner, getting meaningful reps as developmental periods. So they have opportunities and chances to rep our plays, not just the scout team plays. So, you know, but great job by Kenny doing everything he could do to help this team win yesterday. Played tough, made some big plays and made some big throws. And did a lot of good things.
We'll go to John and then Bo.
Hey, Nick. Coaches often talk about, you know, the high points never being as good as it looks, good as you think it's going to look, the bad points never looking as bad. After the film, what did you like coming out of that game?
Yeah, you know, I thought that, you know, through everything, our guys just stuck together as a team. I think we played with relentless effort and toughness. You know, I thought that those are things that were highlighted. We had 5 turnovers on defense. You know, we were able to do some good things, had some explosive plays on offense. Made some kicks on special teams and you know, in that second half particularly. Now, at the end of the day, like I said, our detail needs to be better in things. I have to coach better. We have to coach better, and our detail has to be better. But there were some, you know, our guys fought like crazy until the very end. Obviously, it wasn't enough to win the game, but I know how together this team is and how tough and how much relentless effort this team plays with, and that was on display against against a good football team yesterday.
We'll go to Bo and then Zach.
Hey, Nick, just to follow up on Kenny, if you got bad news on him, how comfortable would you be moving forward with Tanner if you needed to? And then I know you said the quarterback uncertainty doesn't change the game planning process, but from a practice schedule perspective, I'm sure you were maybe going to do some things this week with the holiday. Does that change at all?
Yeah, I didn't, you know, all I said was every position requires adjustments. I kind of generalized it, Bo. I mean, every position requires adjustments when the guy's not in there. Quarterback's no different. You know, it's going to require adjustments. As far as our practice schedule being, you know, Yeah, we are. Again, we'll adjust things as we needed, as we need to. You know, you guys will see how this week's playing out. You know, I got a lot of things to balance, a lot of things to juggle. It's not just about, you know, one position. There's many positions and groups to think about, and where we are here at this point of the season. I'm sorry, Bo, I missed, what's the other part of your question?
Tanner, if you had to move on to Tanner, how comfortable would you be?
Yeah, like I said, Tanner's done a good job in scout team and developmental periods, you know, and so, again, Tanner's gives us a lot of confidence. You know, Kenny gives us a lot of confidence, and I think that's just a tribute to Howie and his staff of all the you know, the pieces that he's given us to work with, right, and, you know, the depth that he's given us to work with, and that's, you know, we've had to play deep into our O-line. We've had to play deep into our secondary. You know, yesterday we had to play into our quarterback. Got a lot of confidence in the guys that are on this roster, both the 53-man roster and the practice squad. There's a reason every one of them's here, and it takes every one of them to help us get each and every victory that we've gotten.
Thank you.
We'll finish with Zach here.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. Understanding the concussion protocol is out of your hands and in the medical staff's hands, the players who are cleared in 1 week span, it's typically not until the end of the week. Would Jalen be able to play if he doesn't participate in practice?
Yeah, each and every week is a different scenario. What I've seen is Jalen knows how to prepare, knows how to get himself ready. He is a true pro who, like I've said, I just can't say enough good things about Jalen, the player, Jalen, the leader, Jalen, the person, you know. So, you know, every week's a little bit different, and I know Jalen does everything he can to get ready for each and every week, regardless of the circumstances.
And then if I can ask a follow-up to that, would you want to see Jalen get work before the playoffs at this point?
Yeah, you know, Zach, just taking this 1 week at a time, I'm not going to – get too much ahead of ourselves. We got to do, you know, we have work to do, you know, and so we got a really good football team that's playing good football coming in here to play. So, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Is Nick Sirianni, the Nick Sirianni press conference. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Diamond studs, necklaces, engagement rings. Mark's Jewelers has you covered for the holidays. Finish your holiday shopping today at Mark's Jewelers. Twitter question was, yesterday's loss a big deal? No is down to 77%. But still, 77% don't think it's a big deal that we can't get the one seed anymore. I don't know what to do with these people. 215-592-9494. Louie in Nebraska, you're on WIP. What's up, Louie?
Mike, Chris, what's going on?
What up, Louie?
It was a tough day today because Tiger lost in the playoffs, too. So it was just a bad day all around. But anyway.
You know what, though? Charlie had a hole-in-one yesterday, though. Come on, man.
We're on to the young buck anyway.
Yeah, man. Hold on. Real quick, though, Spike. Bear with me.
Yep.
Less than 30 seconds. Tiger looked more healthier than I've seen him look in a long
time. Oh, here we go.
Man. I'm just saying.
He's going to win the PGA Championship at Aaron Smith next summer when we're there, baby. Yeah.
We're going to do this for 20 more years with Tiger.
Shut up.
Yep. All right.
As far as the goats go, the kids, man, Tiger's kid looks pretty good. Anyway.
Let's break that down.
Charlie, man.
All right.
I hate FedEx Field, man. Why does everybody get hurt? And I've never felt comfortable going into this game. Not saying that we can't win, but I just knew that there's just disasters on this field. But let me just give everybody some encouragement to this afternoon, because me and Ike, we're professionals, we're realists, we're optimists.
That's true.
Okay? Yep. Here's what happened. The backup quarterback showed that you can win. And the reason why I said that he can win is because they scored 33 points. That's one of the highest points games that we've had this season, and that's with a backup. So I feel very comfortable that if something did happen to the Michael Jordan, to the Duke, to the, you know, whoever you want to call him.
I haven't heard the Duke in a while.
Well, because the captain has been MIA.
You know, since Spike doesn't think I'm a supporter of Jalen Hurts or a weak supporter, I'm just trying to show him, you know, what it is. But guys, can we say that Jalen Hurts is more than just a guy, as my great friend Fritzy over there thinks he's just not a great quarterback.
Because he's better than Kenny Pickett?
That's not it. That's not it. And here's the reason why. Jack is hurt because he couldn't cash in on his parlay because of the tush push. Look at how valuable that play is. Look how valuable scrambling is. Okay?
Now, passing the ball. That's also valuable.
100%.
Yeah, and passing offense looked better yesterday with Kenny in there.
No. I'm sorry. It must have been cut out. No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. Yes, it did. It 100% did. He was on time. He was accurate. He pushed the ball down the field. The running game took a hit 100%. But the passing game was just as good, if not better, with Kenny Pickett in there.
Jack.
So, crickets?
Jack. All my boy does can throw the ball. And I feel like even though we should have made some coaching adjustments earlier in the game, that's all he has. He doesn't have the triple threat option that Jalen Hurts has.
Sure.
But just to give everybody some encouragement, okay, this is a wake-up call for the Eagles. This loss,
yes.
No one was going to win 17 straight games. Now, no loss is a great loss. I understand that because I'm a
except the Chiefs might go in and win however many straight games.
No, they're not. They're not. Because the Bills look for real this year, though the Chiefs has beat them in the past. But
I mean, well, hell, Baltimore looked good, too.
Yeah. And so, just have everybody just stay encouraged, okay? I'd rather have this loss now than in the playoffs, okay? You know
really?
How great.
That's a big take, Louie.
You know how great Nick responds after a loss. We are
the Andy Reid of the 2020s, yep.
We're gonna get our quote-unquote bye, okay? We're going to have three games at home, three straight weeks. And we know how when we're at home what we do. So everybody relax and just listen. Here's a great take for you. We've already won in Detroit this year. Okay?
We did.
So everybody relax. When we get to Detroit, we're going to win again. Spike,
wait a minute. What do you mean we've won in Detroit? What are you talking about?
Hey, Spike, where was the draft this year?
Ah, that was in Detroit.
Very cute of you, Louis. Very cute.
Oh, my God.
Spike, what did we do when we were in the draft, Spike? Did we win or lose in the draft?
We won.
We did win.
I rest my case. Y'all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. I'll see you next week.
Merry Christmas. Okay. I'm like, what? We won in Detroit already.
Louis's killing me, man.
Hey, man, give him credit.
Can I tell you something?
Let him cook.
I know you guys want to play private courses.
Only. And Jaws courses.
Pipe down over there.
Can I?
Yeah, pipe down over there.
And Jaws course.
Yes. Yeah. Jaws course is number one.
Number one.
Yes.
But let me just throw this out there. And
River,
I know
Riverwinds, Ramblewood Valley, running new.
Downingtown.
Downingtown. Yeah,
I know Jack's not going to agree with this.
Okay.
Okay, Andrew brings more than Louis from Nebraska.
Dude, that's not true.
Louis from Nebraska calls every week and he goes, you know, Jalen's good, guys. And then he goes, get it? I play golf. That's the call every time. Louis from Nebraska is not as good as his brother. He's not as good as his dad. He keeps saying a golfer. I've never heard of him. I look at ESPN.com every single day. I never see Louis from Nebraska as just won some tournament. He always talks about
the you got to look at the Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, this guy is a fraud.
He's lacking a little depth. I got to admit.
Yeah, he's
a little bit.
Well, what depth does OK Andrew have? It's not that I don't love OK. He's obviously OK.
He has two home runs. One home run, bread and butter. Second home run, Jack's nickname is Hawk Tua because he spits all over the mic.
Yeah, apparently. And there's a live audience here. Have you seen any spit? There's no spit.
I've seen plenty of spit.
Well, now I'm getting a bunch of saliva in my mouth because I'm thinking about it.
Everyone who's close to our broadcast here has asked for plexiglass in front of
you don't want
the little spittle.
Been complaining about that since you got here.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I got to admit, that was all right by OK Andrew.
He's been cooking that up for a while.
That was a good one.
No, that's Dustin in the Northeast's fault.
Yeah, well, it's a winner.
Hog Tua on the mic.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Big V in Mount Laurel. Big V, you're on WIP. What's up?
Yo, Ike, Spike, Fritzy boy, how you doing?
Big V, what's up, brother?
Hey guys, look, yesterday, that was a tough loss. I mean, it sucks to lose, especially, you know, after having such a good win streak, but I think the Twitter poll is right. It's not that serious. Main thing is getting to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So, I mean, if we can do that, I'm okay with this loss. In fact,
oh, of course.
So you don't feel any different about the team moving forward. You're saying you still, even though we're not going to have home field advantage, looks like. I will say this: there's a slim chance something can happen to either Detroit or Minnesota in that second round, and we wind up with the NFC Championship game here as the number two seed, right? Like, there's something that could happen in that second round.
Yep.
If all those planets line up, yeah. But
sure,
I mean, there's also a slim chance that Herb could be the next king of England.
Well, he's not in English.
You know what? I don't even have it in front of me, but I'd be interested to know how many of the number one seeds actually wind up hosting the championship game in both conferences.
I can look that up. I'll look that up.
That's true. But as far as yesterday's game, I mean, the big thing I've seen with defense is that there was no serious leadership on the field. These guys were playing out of position. They weren't communicating, and you had some people playing hero ball, you know, looking to sack Daniels, and, you know, he was killing him with his legs rather than containing him and flooding the zone. But in terms of the passing game, I don't think it was better than Jalen's, because Jalen brings a dimension. But if Pinkett is going to be the starter of the next game, maybe they ought to start, you know, at what I've been saying all year, putting in some screen passes and letting Saquon.
Well, I'm just saying it would have helped yesterday if he could run a screen play.
So just to be clear, Big V, you feel all right about the loss yesterday as long as they win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it sounds like a good plan.
No, don't get me wrong. I can't stand losing, just like a lot of people. But, I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm going to lose sleep and the world's coming to an end. In fact, I had the Eagles for 4 losses this year, and it looks like they're going to exceed that. So, all in all, I'm happy. But I just want them to play like the professional, high-level superstars that they are, instead of that bullcrap that they did yesterday. That's it.
What do you mean primarily defensively, you're saying?
Primarily defensively, yes.
Yeah. Because I didn't think they played. I mean, we had a couple of maybe a holding call here or there on the offense. I didn't think we played too poorly offensively, other than we didn't adjust from a run game coordination standpoint once Jalen went out. I thought a lot of the runs we still ran were ones we put in with the idea of having Jalen out there as a dual threat. And it didn't take long for Washington to figure out Kenny Pickett wasn't going to run the ball yesterday.
Yeah, I can't get over – I don't know if they told him not to run it. I just can't believe he wouldn't run it once or twice.
At least give a – like, even when you go to the sideline, somebody has to be like, hey, Kenny, you can keep it, and it's open on the outside, because they're crashing down so much on Saquon. Like, Saquon, how many times did he get – dude, he got hit behind the line of scrimmage more yesterday than he got hit all year.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the line of scrimmage. This dude has been notorious for not having contact until he's 3-4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. He got hit in the backfield more yesterday than he had all year long.
And I just can't figure it out, because Pickett can move. He's not a statue.
Right, he's not a statue.
He's not Kirk Cousins.
And didn't he have a couple runs yesterday?
He
had a couple runs where he looked okay. He looked like an athlete.
3rd and 15, or 2nd and 15, one of those two.
And he had a nice.
He got him back in field goal range for one of the Jake Elliott.
I agree. Yeah.
And he almost drew a personal foul on that late slide.
Yeah, how about them picking that up?
Yeah,
it was a right call, but man.
Yeah, I thought we were getting the extra.
Yeah, I thought
we were
going to get that, man. My goodness.
Do you think Saquon had some throwback feelings, like he was a giant yesterday?
Oh, in that second half, for sure.
It looked like
that. Yeah, he was like, damn, I hadn't done this. This hasn't happened all year long.
It's been a while.
I do.
He was literally getting hit in the backfield as soon as he got the ball.
I do wonder, with Brandon not playing, who is
the leader?
Who are the leaders on that defense? I would imagine Slay, but I don't know who they.
Well, it has to be N'Kobe. He's the middle linebacker. N'Kobe and Zach Baum. Like, they. I mean, they have to be. I don't think there's one voice. I don't think anybody over there has a strong enough voice to be the one voice over there. So you almost got to do it by units. And Jalen Carter should be the one that's taking care of the guys up front, it seems like, even though he's a younger guy. You would like if it was more of a Josh Sweat led group, a veteran. But N'Kobe and Zach Baum are they only have to worry about each other because no other linebackers really play but those two guys. In that secondary, real quick, Seth was pointing something out, the great Seth Joyner, about CJ GJ, that a lot of people disagree with. They thought Seth was being a little bit too harsh on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson for getting tossed out of the game. Well, here's what I'll tell you. I can appreciate the emotion and the passion that Chauncey plays with. I can appreciate that. I told you, I was a younger player. You have to harness that stuff, and sometimes it's hard to figure out where that line is at while still being an impactful and effective player to the level in which you're comfortable with. But you still have to be able to stay within those lines. That being said, his absence yesterday most certainly had a monumental impact on the defense. The miscommunication on the back end, the missed tackles. When you're playing with a new player back there in the secondary, you know, versus being accustomed to playing with the same guys where you have hand signals, where you're familiar with how that player plays and you're going to be able to play off of him. When you get a new guy out there like Tristan McCollum, even though he's been here, he's still new to the synchronization of the unit back there. They're not accustomed to him being back there. Is he as boisterous and voiceful as CJ GJ? I'm not talking about from a smack-talking standpoint. I'm talking about changing,
communication,
changing coverages, knowing what you're supposed to do, making adjustments, little ins and out when you're going up against a bunch set and there's going to be crossing routes, things of that nature. Whereas Tristan McCollum may be out there, when you're that young player, dude, and you're out there, you're really thinking about, I don't want to make a mistake. Okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This it almost takes away from your ability to anticipate and think forward thinking. You're really robotic out there while you're playing because you're coming in cold. And so CJ being out, that's the ripple effect it had on the rest of the defense. And we saw mix-ups. Right, like we saw.
Well, the 12 men on the field thing with Slay, and I'm with Seth on that. You can't. You get that first one if you're CJ GJ, and you get the first one just for talking.
Yeah.
You have to realize you have made yourself a target. They're looking for it today.
And you got the first one after you got hit.
Right. So they're clearly watching.
Like, yes. I mean, you're the one who got hit, and he ain't got the personal foul. I still don't know how that happened, but
4 personal fouls on defense is too many.
Yeah.
And I know we always like to cry, well, what about them do this? You can't look at the Milton Williams one, the Jalen Carter one, and say that they weren't personal fouls. They were definitely personal fouls.
You certainly know why they were called. Yeah.
Yes.
Without
the one of them was a quarterback. After there's too many. And Jalen Carter got saved, was it last week or the week before, where he hit the guy in the head, and luckily it was tagged on the end of the...
No, it was last week, yeah, against Pittsburgh.
It was tagged on the end of the kick rather than giving them a first down, but you just, it's too much. It's too much. 215-592-9494. Kenny from the Dirty 30, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys, first off, I hope you have a great Christmas, happy holiday.
You as well,
enjoy
Kenny.
Enjoy your families and your loved ones. Now, I was down that game yesterday, and I was sitting real close to the field on the Eagles sideline. So I saw a lot of things. And, Mike, I want to answer an earlier question for you. Pre-game, we were watching Jake Elliott and Brain Man kicking and the Redskins kicker. That ball was not traveling yesterday. It was that cold air. I mean, it was this cold, dense air yesterday. And none of them were doing it. I was watching them. I mean, Jake Elliott was barely making 50-yarders. And the Redskins.
Well, he made his 50-yarder yesterday.
Well, he did, but I'm telling you, during the warm-ups, we were scared with that, and none of the kickoffs they were practicing were getting into the end zone, and that played a big part in the game.
Oh, it played a huge part in the game. I didn't know if that was part of the Eagles' game plan, where they weren't kicking the ball deep or what. Like, I was like, what are we doing with the kickoffs?
Yeah.
So you think the weather conditions played a part in it.
Well, played a part in the kicking game.
That's what I'm talking
really
about.
Wasn't that bad overall to be down there. Now, it was just I know you played, but I'm talking to you as a fan now.
Sure.
Sometimes you go into a game and the crowd just isn't right. That was half Eagle fans, and it just didn't have that vibe. I've been to 5 away games this year, And no one was whipped up into a frenzy. It was just bizarre. And then the game started, and weird things were happening. I mean, when Jalen got hit, that was right in front of me. I thought for sure a flag was going to come out, Brown with the helmet. I'm not blaming the refs. It was clear to me from my angle. But then it just, I saw uncharacteristic tackling, which I haven't seen since the Tampa game. I just saw, it reminded me a lot of that Atlanta game where we just didn't have it. It just wasn't one of those games. And it really upset me because I know we're better than that. But I think it happens. I mean, you play sports long enough, 17 games in the NFL, man, it's a tough sport, I'm going to tell you. And I was just, and all that, it could have all been forgiven with a simple catch by Smitty. Just like that Atlanta game, a simple catch by, you know, a simple catch forgives all those sins. And it just shows you the kind of day it was when even your best players can't even make the simplest plays. And I'm not coping, it's just the way it was. It was just one of those games, and came at a bad time when we had a chance for number one. Now we don't. So now we got to make the best of it.
No, I mean, listen, it's I don't know if anybody can, you know, explain it or express it much better than what you just did. I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, sometimes you go out there and think about it. How many games do you win when you turn the ball over five times?
Right.
Like Washington won a game where they turned the ball over five times. That usually does not happen in the NFL.
So this is only the second time, I think, in the last 20 years.
And both happened this year.
This year.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the third time in the last
Detroit.
20 years.
Remember, but Detroit did it.
It's Detroit, and I think there was one 10 years ago. So maybe it's three in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, you know, being down that low, I saw how diminutive Jaden Daniels is. If they don't bulk him up and feed him some pasta, man, he's going to get killed. He better stay fast. I mean, Spike, he's like your size.
Well, yeah, thank you for the call, Kenny. I think Jaden Daniels is a little bit bigger than me.
Yeah.
Probably.
That doesn't look like it's been too big of an issue for Jaden Daniels. And a lot of people said the same thing about Lamar Jackson, that he was too thin and he needed to bulk up and all of that stuff. So,
and by the way, he got older and got stronger and all those things. I think Jaden Daniels will be fine.
These dudes, when they play winning football.
Yeah.
The last thing is he's worried about putting on 20 pounds.
He's
to bulk up.
Curious to see where he evolves, Jaden Daniels, because he looks like he's going to be a real player for a number of years.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with your organization. If you're a lot of these quarterbacks, man, we've seen guys have one good year, and then if you don't continue to put good players around them, you don't have a good coaching staff around them, like, you can waste a lot of guys' talents. So, like, I think he's going to be as good as Washington is as an organization, and cultivating and putting a culture around him that allows him to thrive. You know, Donovan will tell you, man, you can ask him. As good as he was as an individual player, to have the supporting cast that he had, that gave you a 10-plus year career of being one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Well, you see it with so many quarterbacks now fail on their first team, and they float around the league, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or whoever we see over the next few years. Yep. A lot of it has to do.
That's two classic ones right there.
Yeah, and
those two.
Geno Smith is another guy that a lot of it is situational for sure. And I'm only going to – this is only a 30-second thing because we have Donovan next. But there was one quarterback who was available this year as a backup who has played a game much more similar to Jalen Hurts, who we could have had, and we decided not to sign him, and he is on the Minnesota Vikings, and that's Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones, I'm just saying, he played...
I'm sitting here like, who are you talking
about? Well, I mean, two years ago, he ran for 700 yards, playing with Saquon Barkley. Look, they probably weren't going to do it, whatever. If you want to run a similar offense, he's not as good as Jalen Hurts. That's not what I'm saying. But if you want to put a guy in who knows how to run that same offense, who will take off with the ball in the RPO, who, by the way, has communicated with Saquon Barkley enough on plays like that where they'll have a decent rhythm, he was available, and we could have signed him. And instead we decided – now, Pickett was fine, but if in a game like that where you're not going to change the game plan in the middle of it, there was a quarterback who was available who could have played the same type of game that Jalen, at least stylistically, that Jalen did, and he was available, we decided not to sign him. Or he decided to go to Minnesota.
Decision.
Well, I mean,
he has a stench on him.
He does, but so did Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I wasn't all that happy about that. Yeah, I agree with you. Yep. Yes, I wasn't all that happy about that.
So one guy who doesn't have a stench on him is Donovan McNabb.
Nope.
And we will talk to Donovan next about the job that Kenny Pickett did and the Eagles' performance yesterday defensively and the sort of lapses they had from a personal foul standpoint as well. Get Donovan's thoughts on all that. Next, along with your calls, this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.